go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
All right, welcome to Deep Space High. I am Chris, and with me is my brother Steve. Say hello, Steven.
Hello.
That was a little creepy of a hello, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about, but we're gonna go with that.
Yeah, sluts. Okay,
keep everyone on their toes. Yeah, and I wanted to bring up something from last episode before we go ahead and start this one. Admiral Clancy might have served on the Enterprise with Picard in the first couple seasons of TNG.
Really?
Yeah, I was scrolling through the internet the other day, and I came across this Reddit article that was like, did Clancy serve with Picard on the Enterprise? And it had a couple clips, and one of them is from Elementary Dear Data, where Data and Geordi are going to the holodeck, I think in that episode, Cold Open, or at the very beginning of that episode. And there's an ensign in engineering, and Data's like, Clancy will be in the holodeck if you need anything. And there's a couple times where they reference.
I thought she was black, though, that ensign.
No, she was white.
I might be thinking of a different episode then. No, Elementary Dear Data. Was that the one where Geordi was building the model ship?
That's the Sherlock Holmes one where they try to create a villain that could outwit Data, and the villain.
Yeah, from season 2.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I thought she was black.
No.
Oh, maybe not.
So there's a possibility that.
Because I thought Admiral that was Clancy, the same chick who liked Geordi, that had the crush on Geordi.
No, that's later in the series. I remember I watched that a couple days ago, so that was season 6 and 7.
Yeah, I think that might have been because they come back to Elementary, My Dear Data, with I can't remember his name. James Moriarty. Thank you.
Yeah.
Moriarty comes out and tricks him and tries to escape from the holodeck.
Yeah, and he tricks Picard into thinking that he has the ability to walk off the holodeck.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's season 6 or 7.
Yeah, I think it's season 6. It's one of the later ones in 6.
But this one's from Elementary Dear Data, which is season 2. I don't know what episode off the top of my head, but it's definitely early in the series.
Engage.
So what do we have in store for today, Steven?
Today we're going over season 1, episode 3 of Star Trek Picard. The end is the beginning.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting name.
This one starts with a flashback 14 years prior to current events. And I realized that, well, it says in the flashback that it's 2385.
Mm-hmm.
So the current, when they jump back to current day, they're in 2399.
Oh, interesting. They're close to the,
what, yeah, what close they call to the 25th century.
Yeah. Would that be, well, we had Y2K. Would they, no, I guess none of that would work with the.
No, it's just, they're on the verge. They're knocking on the door of a new century.
Yeah, 2400.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah, but I would really like to see a series that takes place on the 25th century, the 2400s. Let's talk about this opening scene a little bit more. This is the scene, as we said, it's a flashback where they're outside of Starfleet Command 14 years prior to current day.
Mm-hmm.
And Picard comes out of some big meeting. And it's the meeting essentially where they're talking about a revised plan for the Romulan evacuation. Mm-hmm. And this is where Starfleet starting, they want to back out of this.
They want to back out of the Federation helping out the Romulan Empire.
Yeah, they don't want to help with the evac of the Romulans.
Right.
So Picard gives them the ultimatum. Hey, either we do this revised plan or I'm out. They're like, bye, Felicia.
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, I honestly wouldn't think that they would accept the resignation either. Like, they, because I think they talked about it in the episode when they meet the pilot. I'm kind of skipping forward a little bit. Yeah. Just how spectacular Picard's career has been, like how much he's admired amongst everybody in the Federation, and yet they accept his resignation over this. Like, is it, were they that scared of what happened to basically let one of the most notable people in the Federation, in the history of the Federation, like just let him go like that?
Yeah. And one of the things I was looking at, I noticed he had four pips with inside a rectangle, mm-hmm. signifying he's an admiral. And I was like, well, when I was first watching it, I didn't know if, you know, is he the lowest grade admiral, the highest grade admiral, the...
In this case, so the number of pips inside the box represents the rank of admiral. So, like, your one pip's box would be, like, your brigadier general.
Well, it's rear. I actually, because I looked it up, I Googled it. I was like, let's see what like, Star Trek Wikipedia says. And one box with a box around it is rear... rear admiral junior grade, two pips rear admiral senior grade, and then third, I don't remember what three pips was, vice admiral, and then four was admiral, and five pips is the fleet admiral, which I guess is the highest ranking. But I think there's one more, because I think there's the CNC, which is kind of the head of Starfleet.
So yeah, that sounds about, I mean, that sounds about right.
So I'm thinking probably third from the top is where he's at when he resigned.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. It was the same position as, or it was the same rank that the admiral that he talked to in the second episode was.
I thought Clancy was CNC. I thought she was the top dog. I thought she was the top dog.
I don't know. I didn't know, because the way that she was talking to, I don't remember her name, the one in charge of security, I can't
Commodore the Orr. Oh,
yes, thank you, Commodore O. Though just the way that they were conversing, I did not see her as the position of authority in that conversation.
Yeah, I think she could, well, Commodore, from my limited naval military knowledge, is somewhere in between captain and admiral. So she's
I don't know. I don't know high Navy ranking too well.
Well, I mean, and I'm kind of basing this just off of, like, I don't think the U.S. Navy has it, but...
No, they don't.
I think the British Navy does.
I thought it would be more something like the Spaniards.
Maybe. Like I said, I'm thinking Commodore somewhere in between Captain and Admiral.
Yeah, it could be.
But...
I mean, it could be. Who knows?
I don't know. Someone who's more knowledgeable on us, you tweet us at... I mean, what was our thing? Tacos and Trek, or Eat Tacos, Watch Trek? We'll do Tacos and Trek. Hashtag Tacos and Trek.
Yeah, that works. Hashtag tacos and track.
Yeah, we didn't mention that in the previous episode, so I kind of wanted to make sure we got that into this one.
Yeah, I know. You texted me at, like, what was it, 11, 12 o'clock at night saying, we forgot hashtag tacos and track.
I know. Like, we got to throw that in there a couple times.
I know. But I don't know. I don't know Navy too well. I don't know Navy ranks that well. So I know my Army better than I know my Navy.
Yeah, so someone hashtag us.
One of the things that they talked about, though, was a marshal back in episode one, when they were how a marshal outranks even an admiral. Maybe Commodore could be something kind of like that, but I couldn't imagine how, since she's in charge of security.
Yeah, I think she's not up there. She's the head of a department, but not an admiral, not top dog.
Well, she's an admiral. I think she's an admiral. She just might not be.
Maybe. It's a honorary title for the head of security.
It could be.
Someone should definitely let us know.
Yeah. There's somebody smarter than us out there.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get back to this episode. We haven't really talked much about this episode yet.
No, just the kind of the pips, and we're still on the opening scene.
Yeah, but, I know.
I mean,
it's funny because, I mean, did you pause the episode? Because we were watching this right now with it CC'd, so we have it on silent and we're just kind of watching it, and I guess we were supposed to come back to this. I guess this is where we're going to be this would be a great time to put in our soundbite that you were talking about earlier, Steven.
Oh yeah, stay on target.
Exactly.
Stay on target. All right, let's hop back to the episode now.
Yes.
But yeah, no.
Well, I mean, you notice that how I hate, damn it. Well, I guess we can bring it back from last episode. You remember how last episode I was talking about how the uniform changes like every couple years and sticks with military tradition?
Yes. I don't know if I kept that in the episode. Okay, I don't. I cut out a lot.
In case it wasn't, what I talked about was how in the military, it's often that like every like 10 years they get a new uniform change.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually see it, what I was talking about in this, because you see 14 years ago how the uniforms are different than the ones that they're using today.
Yeah.
And how they change all the time.
Yeah. Here's one thing I did notice about the uniforms from 14 years ago is that they zip up in the back. And if you've ever dated anyone, girl specifically, who had a dress that zipped up in the back, that's a two-man job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so true. I mean, it looks good, like the uniform looks clean on TV, but practicality day to day, I mean, without having an assistant there, be like, all right, zip me up, and then, oh, okay, now your turn to zip them up.
Well, I mean they kind of switch back and forth, like every different show has it a little bit different, or like where we are in respect to the timeline, because like I've seen some hell, like, okay, I'm watching the scene right now with Commodore O, and
paused it because we were conversating about an episode that happened 10 minutes ago, or a scene that happened 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Well, let's bring it back. Like, even the one I'm watching, or the scene that I was watching right now, you can see that her uniform is different. It's almost like an Elvis Presley kind of thing, with the collars popped up and the top just down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell is that practical? I mean, are you just trying to go for Elvis here?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there was a lot of, going back to this flashback scene, there was a lot of important information. There was, Rafi was saying that the Sins churned, or it was Picard who was saying that it was a fatal error code inside the operating system of the Sins, which caused them to churn. And I think Rafi was like, that sounds like BS.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it was just that, why would you ban Sins altogether? Just rewrite the code so it didn't happen again.
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, if that's how they were explaining it, and they were just like, oh, don't worry, it was just this, but we're going to ban Sins anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think...
I mean, that smells like a cover-up.
And I think part of the reason why Rafi got kicked out of Starfleet, lost her... because she mentions, I lost my security clearance. And I think part of it was she was on to... it was the Romulans who...
Who did it,
who hacked into the Sins, made him turn against Mars, and then Starfleet went and covered it up, and I think she tried to take it to Starfleet and being like, this is what happened, I have all this evidence. And then they're like, we're going to revoke your security clearance, and you're out of here. Which right. took her on this whole spiral of why she hates Picard, because he didn't back her up during this.
Well, what was he going to do?
I don't know.
He had already resigned. They accepted his resignation. Like, that was his last-ditch effort, and he even said so. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I got no bullets left in the gun.
Yeah, and I think part of why she was pissed is because you hear it subtly and when they're back and forth at her trailer is, you know, he made no effort to really reach out to her in the 14 years since that happened. So she was like, yeah, you never checked in on me, never saw if I was okay, never asked how things were going. And then out of the blue. That's
kind of a dick move too.
I know. And then out of the blue, you come up and you want my help.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense on why she would hate him. I would hate him too.
Yeah.
Fuck, 15 years. Hell, I'm 22 years old. That's most of my life.
Yeah.
That's over three quarters of my life. Yeah. Or almost. I can math. But, I mean, I'd be pretty damn pissed too. Especially when I lost everything because of you.
Yeah. Yeah, because she was I'm assuming assistant, but she had a pretty high ranking. She was like lieutenant commander.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure she was two pips with one, not the three pips with the third. One. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lieutenant commander.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she had a decent ranking, which you'd think Admiral's assistant probably wouldn't have such a high designation.
Yeah, I mean...
maybe an ensign?
No, I mean, it could. Oh. If you're dealing with one of the highest ranking admirals in all of Starfleet, yeah, it makes sense that they would have somebody a little bit higher ranking than an ensign.
Maybe. I don't know, like I said, not familiar with that bureaucracy part of the military.
Yeah, I mean, there's some bureaucracy that I kind of understand, but not a lot. I mean, I didn't get that much exposure to it, but I've heard a lot of different accounts.
Let's move forward, because the opening scene jumps into the credits, and then after the credits, you get another scene where Hugh and Soji, I believe it's with Hugh and Soji, either that or Rafi and Bricard are talking in present day. I don't remember which.
I don't either. I passed it. I still have the same scene going, so I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. So, but there's a brief scene where Picard is recruiting her, trying to get a pilot, and then...
Oh, yeah, that was the scene that we were talking about, where she kind of went into more detail of how she lost everything.
Yeah, and how she was pissed at him.
I thought it was funny how later that night, in like the next scene, she's doing research, trying to find him, and he calls, and it's like, I haven't signed on to anything. Well, I'm giving you research anyways.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of a dick move to pull.
Crash is kind of a dick to this lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she still ends up helping him?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, but after that scene, we see Hugh and Soji, and I think this is the first time we see Hugh. I don't remember seeing him in the second episode.
It is. And I think it's the same actor that plays Hugh, too.
I think it is, and it's weird, because I've seen those TNG episodes, and they took off...
They look so young.
Yeah, they took off so much of the cybernetics.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have anything removed. He had... they didn't remove, like, any of the cybernetics when he became an individual.
Well, no, they left it all
on. So, like, they just removed, like, everything.
Yeah. And then they probably... I won't say mastered, because you could tell that he still has some cybernetics. 7 of 9, I think, still has some cybernetics. So they still left a good portion of cybernetics in. But you could tell from the time TNG ended to now, they've been able to pull some of that Borg material and tech out of them.
Yeah, well, that was actually in one of those episodes that I sent to on Voyager that you didn't watch them.
I did watch that
one. No, there was they explain a lot about the Borg technology and the rest of the episodes.
Well, like I said.
So they kind of go back and they explain why they can't take everything out, because their body becomes dependent on the materials.
Yeah, I did see that.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, well, that's why.
Yeah. So
in case anybody else who hasn't seen them yet didn't know, your body still kind of becomes dependent on the materials once they're implanted in you, and they cannot be removed. Like, they're nanobots, they can never be removed. So one of your cranial implants, like the one that covers her eye, that Hugh has it too, those can't be removed. Otherwise, they'll die.
Well, that's the
thing. Body just become dependent on it.
For Hugh, they removed a good portion of that eyepiece. I mean, you could tell there's still some sort of synthetic eye in there, and there's still some tech in there. But it looks like they removed 90% of that piece.
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe she's just 7 of 9's keeping hers just because she thinks
it's part of her.
Fashionable.
Well, it's part of her. It's, it makes her.
I mean, it doesn't look bad. It looks pretty badass. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of the Terminator or Terminator-esque.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think after this, you just kind of get a lot of little scenes or a couple little scenes, because they don't talk much. Hugh and Soji, and then it cuts again to Jean-Luc and Ralphie, and she's still explaining some more evidence, and then it jumps again to Girardi and Commander O, but you don't get much of that conversation besides Commander O Commodore O saying, "I'm Commodore O," and they have some sort of conversation,
right?
But there's it seems like there's a lot of cuts in the first half of this episode, kind of explaining, oh, here's a piece of information, cut. Here's a piece of information, cut. Here's another piece of information, at least from what I can tell.
Yeah, and that's something that I remember when watching this show for the first time, that they spend most of the season just kind of explaining what's going on or setting up the ending. Mm-hmm. It's kind of prevalent in what you're saying there. Like, every scene's... small scene, this is some information, cut, let's go to the next one to explain the storylines of how they all converge at the very end.
And I think it's tough, and I think a lot of Star Trek fans don't like that. They like, they don't really care for the overarching season story. I know a lot of TNG fans aren't liking this because, TNG, you get a whole story within an episode or two. There's never, it never goes beyond a part two.
Yeah, CBS doesn't understand the philosophy of Star Trek. It's okay to have like a subplot storyline that's going along for the episode, but we want something different every episode. It's supposed to be an adventure in space, and every week brings about a new adventure, new problems to be solved, and that's just how life is. Not this one long overarching story. Yeah, it's an interesting one, but if you were going to do it, just make a movie.
Yeah, and funny thing, you bring that up. I'm going to put a pin into it until the end of the episode. But
cool. Well, we have a good segue to end it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just one of those things. And I'm not saying Picard's a terrible series, because it's nowhere near a terrible series, but it's just not hitting home with a lot of those fans,
right? Because, and it was the same
of this overarching story,
right? And it was the same thing with Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah,
like it was just, you know, one continuous storyline going from each episode to episode, and it just wasn't Star Trek. And I even made that complaint when you and I first started watching the show. I said it just doesn't feel like Star Trek. I like the Orville better, because Orville feels more like Star Trek than Star Trek does.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's Trek. It's good TV. It's not, you know, it doesn't quite hit home with Trek, but it's still, you know, quality Trek.
Yeah, it's still a good storyline.
I mean, I like seeing technology from a 2020 point of view and how they might see the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously it'll change from 1987 to 2020.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it is funny how they just kind of going back and saying like what they thought the future was going to be like, even when they talk about like early 21st century kind of stuff, and just kind of going back thinking, oh, that's funny. They thought that Ireland would have declared independence 5 years ago. Cool. You know, just kind of little stuff like that. You just notice it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and then one of the scenes I like from this episode is when Picard first meets Captain Rios.
Why is that?
It's one of those, Captain Rios is a guy, he's smoking a cigar, he has a piece of tritanium sticking out of his shoulder.
He's the tough guy.
Yeah, he's the tough guy. He's, you know, cigar in his hand. I think he orders tequila or some sort of alcohol, and then he pours a shot and offers it to Picard. Picard's like, no, thank you, and then just dumps it on his wound. It's like, damn.
See, that's how you know the difference between me and Picard. I would probably accept a shot.
I think just, you know, 80% of us would accept the shot.
Eh. Well, I don't know about that. Most people would probably be dude, you got a fucking piece of tritanium stuck in your shoulder and you're offering me a shot. Like, just get the damn thing out.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed, or I mean, I'm sure a lot of people noticed, but his emergency hologram pulls it out. But he doesn't use a regenerator. I don't even know if he stitches it up, but he just lets it heal on its own to leave a scar. He doesn't regenerate it so that there's no visible scar, no proof that it's
there. Yeah, I noticed that too.
I was like, that's interesting for something so advanced in technology, or for such an advanced and technologically superior, you know, civilization. But I think mentally he likes to have the story of the scars and the explanations, because every scar has a story.
Yeah, maybe he just feels like a bitch if somebody regenerates it. Maybe he just wants to feel like a man.
Maybe.
Like, fuck yeah, I'm smoking a fucking cigar with a piece of shrap metal on my shoulder like it's fucking nothing. You honestly think I need a dermal regenerator? Like, I can handle this shit, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, probably. You know, you could be 100% right on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a lot of information, though, on his backstory. He was an XO on a heavy cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't catch the name of it when he said it. I know Picard says it, but
I don't remember either.
Rio says it, but I didn't catch the name. Or maybe I really didn't know how to spell the name. I caught the name. So, and then you find out that ship's records, it was wiped from Starfleet, so there's no records of it in Starfleet, which makes you think, what the hell happened on that ship to where Starfleet went in and deleted that from the registry and wiped all its logs, so you have no idea that it was ever there.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of extreme, unless, again, you're smelling a clear cover-up story.
Yep. Hint, hint, wink, wink, something's going on there. And exactly. We're not talking about the hanky-panky between the synth and Narek. Just throwing that out there. I mean, I think that happens again too later in the episode, but
probably
not talking about it this time.
Let's fast forward a little bit. One of the things you talked about in the last episode was you were a little disappointed that there was no like a little action scene towards the end, that it was kind of like the very beginning, a little bit of action, and there was nothing else. Well, this one, you got your wish. You know, yes. They had a small little fight scene. And one of the things that I wanted to point out that I noticed from this, they have a gun literally everywhere in that house.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, this is why you have a fucking gun in the house. You get into a fight, get under the table, boom, I got another gun I could shoot you with.
Who knew Picard was half Texan?
I know.
But he goes poof, under his desk, pulls out a gun. And then I actually found out the lady's name, Laris. You know, she's at the coffee table at the other end of the study. Poof, another gun. I was like, man, This dude is the most Texas motherfucker I've seen of all the Star Trek.
Are we sure he's like French? It. Like if he was really French, he would have like white flags under the table. Like, I'm surrendering. Yes. You know.
I mean, it is the 24th century, so I mean, I mean, it's France, but don't they? They're under one government here.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
But yeah, it's still. Whew, that was a big stereotype, but
that was.
It was funny. But yeah, it was relieving because we did get a lot of information, and it was nice to have this little action scene and see the choreography of the fighting was still top notch, and I think it's top notch in this whole season/series. And you find out that the two Romulan keepers, I got their names, like I said, Jaban and Loris, they're badass. I know, yeah, we got some background with them. Yeah, I know we got some background on them being kind of Tal Shiar-ish or kind of some sort of...
Probably like maybe Vulcan. Military intelligence or former Romulan military intelligence, maybe.
Yeah, they definitely have training.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Well, and then I thought what was weird was how easily, like, they left one of the Romulans alive. Like, how easily he gave him up. Be like, oh, we'll let you go if you tell us what happens. And he tells him everything. And then, you know, he kills himself, but...
Did he?
Like,
yeah. I mean, I know he killed himself, but...
Well, I mean, he started talking about... Because it was like... What?
She sprayed him with water like a cat to wake him up. I've noticed it, but it's funny because that just happened as you were trying to explain him.
Oh, well, you did. You make, like, the noise of, like, the spray bottle, and I'm thinking, like, what? You're shushing me? What's going on? What am I missing? So it's the scene's going on simultaneously as they're with Hugh. I can't remember her name. I keep thinking her sister's name. It's
Soji.
Soji, thank you. So Soji and Hugh are together, and then they start talking with one of the Romulan patients that were assimilated with the Borg. Mm-hmm. And they both like simultaneously talk about how Soji is the destroyer and how, you know, they both go crazy on it, and then he eventually kills himself. I'm like, why would you tell him that and then kill yourself? Why not just kill yourself? Leave him the mystery. Like, not a very good special ops, you know?
No. Yeah, I agree. And I think that's just, you know, in the writer room, they're like, well, let's kind of plant the seeds in Picard that, you know, there's a reason why they're hunting after her. There's something that they believe she's going
to
do.
They're trying to, like, maybe intensify the drama.
Probably.
Or build the suspense, maybe.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Rather than having a logical storyline.
Oh my gosh, the scene where her and Hugh is talking to the Romulan, she's wearing her necklace again on the outside of her collar.
Yeah, like a bow tie.
Yeah, like I mentioned in episode one. I'm telling you, I think that's a fashion, and that's a fashion that would drive me nuts. Because it's...
I mean, it makes sense. Like if you're trying to make sure that it's still seen, and you, rather than having a tie there, you can... still want to show it off, so you use it as the tie.
Yeah, it's blatantly obvious that they want that necklace seen as much as possible.
I don't know. I don't think it's a very good fashion choice.
No, I don't like it.
It's starting to bug me now. Now that you point it out, it's one of those things where I don't think anybody would really know unless you pointed it out.
Yeah, you're welcome to the two viewers who are listening. Nah, we might have more than that. Three and a dog.
Our dogs.
Yeah.
But in the scene where, in the scene with Soji, and she's talking to the Romulan. You know, the Romulan freaks out, steals the guy's gun, tries to kill herself. It's amazing how quickly that Soji got there and was able to stop her from pulling the trigger.
Well, yeah, I think she, in that scene, she partially activates and blatantly obvious that she's not human because she moves across the room and closes the distance in no time.
The time it would take her to pull the trigger.
So it's like almost like a fight or flight reaction to where, you know, she doesn't fully activate, but she does enough to save her.
And then I think that's kind of how the scene developed, or not, I guess not that scene, but how that storyline is progressing. Mm-hmm. Now she's starting to be activated and then she starts to figure it out. And you see that in a later scene where she calls her mother and she's asking about her sister, and she tells her, oh yeah, your sister's fine. I talked to her the other day. We were having a nice conversation. Bullshit. She's dead. She blew up.
Yeah. And like one thing, I wonder how many times she tried to call her sister. If she even tried to call her sister, that would be like, you know, me trying to call mom if making sure you're okay when you, you know, don't live at home.
It's pretty obvious that the mother's just not real. Like, where the hell is that mother that they're calling? Like, it'd make more sense if it was just like a simulation that runs every time you call them.
Yeah, it's probably some sort of artificial intelligence.
Well, you never really see the mother.
No. No, I think
she kind of looks like a CGI, too.
Yeah. Have you noticed that when you're watching and you look at Soji that she looks a little different? She kind of, because I brought it up briefly last episode, to where she looks polished, to where she almost doesn't seem completely human, or at least the way her skin is.
Oh, the glowing?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And I just attributed it to she just got laid, so she's probably a little sweaty.
Right. That's why I'm saying, have you? She obviously hasn't got laid yet in this episode, so I'm saying,
well, that we know
do
of.
You notice that she still looks, she still has that look
a little
her.
Bit. Yeah, I do kind of notice that she does have a bit more of a glow, or
yeah, the light reflects off her a little differently and she gives off more of a glow.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but after that scene where she saves the Romulan from killing herself,
it's a commercial. Because CBS has commercials.
it is the commercial. But then you come back. This, you get a really cheesy, you know, they're conversating. And then he's really like, I have a secret to tell you.
Yeah, she's having a freak out. And he like leans in and whispers like, I think I'm falling in love with you. I'm like, yeah, that's what she wants to hear right now. She's having a panic attack. And
why don't you just...
That sounds like the right time to do it.
I know. He might have been better off just whipping out his dick and doing the helicopter.
I mean,
it's almost as appropriate as that.
Or, you know, get a box. You cut a hole in the box. Stick your dick in the box and then have her open the box.
Yeah, that could always work too. It's about as appropriate as doing that right now. That's what it felt like. It was really, oh my gosh.
Just bad timing. Like, and she likes it too. I don't.
And she did. And, you know, he's trying to play.
See,
the
that's
whole...
how you know these writers are guys who have never been in that scenario before.
Well.
I mean, like, you really think that's kind of what's going to play out?
Yeah.
You don't really know women that well, do you, guys?
Yeah, because the conversation, you know, she smiled and then went in for the hug. It really would have been like, bitch, we're not even talking about that.
I know.
Let's stay focused. We're talking about me. After that, she meets up with her brother. They have a brief conversation.
She meets up with her... Oh.
Oh, sorry. Eric meets up with Rizzo.
Yes.
And they discuss how the plan's going.
Yes.
He's like,
I don't know. Did we ever figure out who that actress is? If she was the actress from?
I think her name's Peyton List, but I didn't look at her IMDb to see what she's played in.
Well, luckily we have this thing called the internet, so we can look it up right now.
Jesus, what was that?
That was my watch. Notifying me that it's 66 degrees outside.
Jesus, flipping, dipping. It's like,
was that
like having a vibrator on my ear.
Oh. Why do you have a vibrator, Steve?
No, the better question is, how would you know what that sounds like?
I assume you watch porn.
No, but like, because I described, never mind. We'll just.
Vibrator on my ear.
Moving on.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah, so this show.
Yeah, well, my watch was just leaning up against the microphone, that's why. vibrator in my ear.
Oh, you do find out.
Yeah, it is Peyton List. Okay.
So you do find out that Rhonda, the Romulan who tried to kill herself, Soji is somehow able to access Romulan files that her ship, Rhonda's ship, was the last ship to be assimilated at all from that Borg cube. And that,
oh yeah,
as soon as they were assimilated, something happened that caused.
Yeah, you noticed that. Hugh even noticed that too. That he was kind of caught off. Like, wait, really? How'd you know that?
Yeah, yeah. And they described it. They said the submatrix of the cube collapsed, which caused all kinds of problems with that cube.
Ooh, I was right. She was on the Flash.
Oh, as the Golden Glider.
I don't know for sure.
What was the name of the character?
I don't know. I just see that Flash is on her list of movie and TV shows.
Well, it usually says the character
name. Yep, it is Golden Glider.
Okay.
She was the Golden Glider. So I was right. She was.
Yeah.
Good for her. She's moving up in the world.
Yeah.
Now she's playing a minor character on the Flash. Yeah.
This episode ends with Picard, Dr. Girardi, Jaban, and Loras all. They're kind of discussing in their study, and Girardi's trying to convince Picard to take her with him. Take her with him. Yeah, there we go.
Right.
So, and then, you know, he ends up taking her with. They beam aboard Rios's ship. And then you get an interesting exchange where Girardi and Rafi are like, who's this bitch? Well, who's this bitch? I'm a freaking top-notch doctor. Well, I was Picard's assistant 14 years ago. You know, they're trying to size each other up. Like, who has the biggest dick in the room?
And neither one of them actually have dicks.
I know.
At least as far as we know.
That's kind of how the scene plays out, though. And it's like,
yeah,
it's like, really? It's here and now the time for it? And they're,
yeah. Well, then Picard kind of sides with the doctor and like, yeah, why do you want to go to, what was it, Fair Cloud City?
Free Cloud.
Free Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah, why do you want to go to Free Cloud? I got my reasons, bitch.
Yeah, it's like, none of your business, bitch.
I know. But that pretty much does end the episode too, doesn't it?
Yes, because then they all being aboard the ship, you have that exchange, who has the biggest dick, you know, it's either Picard or Rios. And then they warp off to Free Cloud City.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason they go to, or Free Cloud, the reason they go there is because
that's where
Rafi discovers death, where Dr. Maddox is.
Mm-hmm.
Not Greg Maddox. Or is it Greg Maddox? Bruce Maddox.
Bruce, yeah.
Keep doing
Bruce.
That.
I know. We're both doing it. So we're both just having off days when it comes to these names. And then, damn, I lost my train of thought. Oh, what do I want? Oh, yeah. Why didn't the doctor just, because the doctor knows Bruce. They worked together at the Institute. And they talked about that. Why didn't you just say, oh, and I also know who, you know, I also know Bruce Maddox personally. So maybe I want to see Bruce again.
Maybe. Maybe she's not ready to play that card.
Yeah, maybe not. But I mean, that seems like a good time to play that card when it's you're having the who's got the biggest dick competition.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just a really weird scene. I was like, this is how we're spending the last couple of minutes. Is they're having a pissing contest, essentially what it is.
Yeah. Especially when he was trying to tell them, like, hey, you got more heat coming on you, or you got more heat coming your way. Let's, if we're going to go, let's go.
Yeah.
And then they're taking their time, and who's got a bigger dick contest?
And then a cue the remix of kind of a, of the TNG song.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I think it's a remix TNG type song, the ending credits.
Because when he was, you know, flying away in the spaceship.
Yeah. When they warp out of there.
Back in space for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Engage.
I think this episode ends on a really good note, bringing back the nostalgic factor with the TNG song and really ties the first three episodes into a nice bow and gets us ready to move on to the fourth. Chris, why don't you go ahead and give us your thoughts on this episode? What did you think?
I actually thought it was a little bit, I thought it was better than the last one, because kind of what you pointed out last time kind of stuck with me going into this one about how it was just mostly all storyline. There was no real action. So some of the things that we talked about from last episode changed what I was looking for. And I was very satisfied in how they adjusted in this episode, you know, adding some more action. You have a little bit more of the background of the dialogue. You had a kind of a cool mix of, it was a more well-rounded episode, I think, than the last one. And it was interesting because I went into this episode different than the other two, because I actually did live up to our name and I actually got high before watching this. So I was watching this episode high. So it was kind of interesting seeing it from that perspective. All the colors and everything made it more sparkling.
Yeah.
So
I swear that was not our full intentions when we came up with the name. But
no, it just kind of how the name went.
Sometimes you just got to go with the flow, and that's how life turns out. But I agree with you. I think this episode is, I think it's a step up from the last one. Not saying the last one's bad, but I did enjoy this episode a little more. It did have that action. We did get a lot of information, but there were some breaks in it. We did get some action in the middle. I think there was actually two. There was one big fight scene, and then there was another smaller one, if I remember right. Oh yeah, before she kills herself, that was kind of tense,
right?
Or tries to kill herself.
It was
herself.
A bit more of a dramatic role.
So it didn't feel as slow to me as last episode. This one being 40 something minutes, I think it was 46, but it felt like 46. It went by faster than the last one. It didn't have that draggy feeling. Did you notice that the director of the first three episodes was the same person?
No, I did not. I did not look at that.
When you were watching it, now looking back on it, can you see, you know, the similar style of directing in all three episodes and thinking back on it?
Well, are they all directed by the same person?
The first three are, yes.
So who's the director?
I'm not sure if it's a guy or a girl. I haven't looked him up yet. But the name is Hanel M. Culpepper.
Oh, I don't know. That could go either way.
Yeah, in chances are European, so I'm not sure male or female, or even if they identify as a gender. But
we're just going to assume they identify as a junior or gender.
A junior. I don't think she's a junior or he's a junior.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. It could go either way. But either way, I think these first three episodes were directed well. They were kind of a single arching story where in the first episode, you're getting the groundwork. Then you get more episode in this, or more information in the second episode, but it kind of all ties out in the third. And then once they jump off and hit warp at the end of this third episode, it's kind of, I mean, you're still over this or under the same overarching story, but it's kind of, it feels like a new arc is about to begin.
Yeah, but it I don't know. Like, what kind of confuses me is why would you have multiple different directors and a show that's having pretty much one consistent storyline? Like, if you were having different directors in kind of the old Star Trek episodes, like how they would have a different storyline each episode, that makes sense. But why would you have multiple different directors who could have a different vision of how the episode should go or how the storyline should go? Well, like, and said, for the record, I just pulled it up. Hanel is a woman.
Okay.
She only directed the first three episodes. Okay. And then Jonathan Franks actually directs a couple episodes.
Yeah, I think he directs the next two.
Yeah, I believe you are correct. Which, for anybody who has watched any of the Star Trek episodes, you know that Jonathan Franks actually directed a lot of different Star Trek episodes.
Yeah.
And not just the Next Generation. I think he did some of Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise. I think he's done a few episodes in all of them.
He's done Discovery too.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
And he's done the Orville.
I didn't know that. That I did not know.
He has a couple episodes of the Orville.
Oh, that's actually interesting. I know he's a really good director.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's really good. And I think once we get to the Orville, I'll point him out.
Yeah.
Once
please we get do. To
those type of shows. But overall I like the first three episodes. I think they're pretty good. On a scale of 1 to 10, they'd probably average right around an 8, with one in three being the highest, and
two kind of dragging
it down a little bit. But I think overall they're still very good episodes. The special effects is top notch for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's no Marvel CGI, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, but we're talking about TV shows. That's apples and oranges. If you want apples and apples, you're going to have to compare these Treks to the new Marvel TV shows that'll come out.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to have to wait and see on those.
Yeah, that'll be sometime in 2020.
But wait! There's more! Hang on to your seat, baby! Because this one's a screamer!
Pin that I put in earlier where you said something about Picard, you know, why don't they just make it a movie?
Oh yeah, you wanted to bring that back to the end.
Yes, I did. And now that we're here, I saw something earlier today. I don't know how the news source was. I think we got this covered, which, take it with a grain of salt, I'm not too familiar with their work, but they were saying that a Picard movie is in early development over at Paramount.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know they're doing a second season of Picard.
Yes, but I don't know. This movie came out of the blue for me, at least this morning when I was reading it, and I was like, do you really need a movie? Are we talking a big screen movie? Or are we talking about a CBS All Access exclusive movie? I'll be 110% honest, I didn't read past the first paragraph, so.
That's kind of important.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, next time we could discuss it more, maybe as our cold open. But that's kind of something to be on the lookout for. I mean, there could be a season two of Picard and some sort of feature film.
Yeah, there could be. I don't know. Steve's a millennial. He's that generation that doesn't actually read news articles. They just read the headlines. So we'll find out.
That's false. What happened was I was scrolling through my phone while dropping a deuce.
That's a perfect time to read a news article.
I was at the end of my deuce, so I didn't want to start an article that I wasn't going to finish. So I kind of put a pin into it, and then I forgot about it until you brought up something about a feature film earlier in this episode.
Now, are you sure that there wasn't like a Picard movie, or like season two could set up a movie? Like, set up a storyline of a movie.
I will go find the article, and we'll make that a cold open for next episode.
All right. Well, we'll do that for the next one then.
Okay. Next episode is episode 4, entitled Absolute Candor. And the synopsis from CBS All Access is, the crew's journey to Free Cloud takes a detour when Picard orders a stop at the planet Fashi?
Something like that. Enough.
Where Picard and Raffi located a Romulan refugees 14 years earlier. So this is, sounds like, and from watching it, they are making a brief detour on the way to Free Cloud and are going to maybe pick up another person.
Yes. They say that, what does they pick up? Upon arrival, Picard reunites with Elnor, played by Evan. I don't know if I can say his last name. Evan Evagora?
I would say Evagora.
Yeah, Evan Evagora.
Part of me wants to say Evagora, but...
That sounds like a tough name to have. Evan Evagora.
Yeah.
How about double E or something like that? Maybe if you had an E for his middle name, go with triple E? No,
but, that's what we have in tune next week. I'm looking forward to that one because it's Jonathan Frakes directed, and I know he's pretty good.
Yeah,
he's a pretty good director. And there's a lot of... There's still more backstory and character development in this episode. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's actually getting better as the series progresses. So,
yeah.
That's one of the things to look forward to for the rest of the series.
It is.
Oops. Let's get out of here.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Deep Space High. Please join us next time as we continue the conversation on Star Trek Picard.
And don't forget to keep the conversation going on Twitter with hashtag Tacos and Trek and hashtag Deep Space High.
And let us know how we're doing by reviewing Deep Space High. And if you love what you're hearing, please feel free to subscribe and share. I'm Master Jedi Steven.
And I'm Chris. And until next time, live long and prosper.